From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Rate Podcast. The episode, we are here. Congratulations to the Colorado Avalanche for winning the Stanley Cup. Six games over the Tampa Bay Lightning. And kudos to the Tampa Bay Lightning because, I mean, that team is still going to be around for a little bit. They have a core intact. And they went through a lot of games without one of their best centers in Braden Point. And, man, they were almost there for a three-peat that almost forced a game seven. To me, they're kind of like the Terminator. If you ever watch the Terminator series and they just keep on coming and coming and coming, that's Tampa Bay for you. They do not give up. They play clean, hard hockey. They're sound, and they'll be back in the mix of things in the Eastern Conference next year. But this episode, we're going to talk season review. The last time you heard us guys, with the Rangers after we lost to Tampa Bay, this is more so an oversight on the season as a whole, all the NHL teams. So let's talk about that. Have some fun towards the end of this episode because, like I said, got to go out with a bang this week because next week no episodes. We're going to be on our bye week. We have a bye week about every 3 months and definitely need a break and have a recharge and reset to talk sports. And this is the off season for the NHL starts right now. I'll be honest with you. I have not done my due diligence on my homework for my NHL draft. And I did have the notes in the beginning of the year with my OHL and AHL and my prospects, but the Rangers kept on winning. I kept on forgetting about checking on the minor league circuits and the independent circuits on who's good and who's not, because I like to do my own homework. I don't like to copy off of other people's paper. So NHL draft this year, I am going to be no use to Blue Shirts fans. I'm not going to be copying off of nobody's paper. Just going to be watching it like everybody else. Whoever we draft is who we draft, and got to move on with life. So let's talk about it. Mr. Ice Guy Blander himself, Scott, man, let's have some fun. And, bro, you know at the end of this episode we got to talk some movies and recommendations. You're, like I said to you many a times, you are our generation's Siskel and Ebert. How you doing, sir? What's going on? It's just us for now.
Ah, cool. Okay, and I certainly appreciate the flattery. Good for Colorado. They've been on the doorstep for a couple of years now. In fact, on that my show with Patrick, we were talking about that. If Colorado loses this, do you start falling into that? Well, Tampa from like 2015 to 2019, or the Red Wings from the mid 90s until they finally.
Let's back it up a little bit. Let's just tell everybody what you're talking about as far as your platform with Patrick. Tell them the name, where they can find it, what y'all were discussing. Let's slow it down for the people.
Okay. We are the Hockey Podcast, which is at Hockey Podcast -1 on Twitter. And I think it's the same name on YouTube. Is the name. I should know that by now. So I appreciate the another plug from you. Patrick's my buddy up in Montreal, huge Habs fan, season ticket holder, of course. And so we started doing a couple weeks ago. One of the things we brought up was if Colorado blew that lead and ended up not winning it, because they haven't been in the finals, but they've been knocking on the doorstep. They've had a team that was one of the cup contenders preseason for the past like three years at least now, and not rhetorical, what's the word I'm looking for? It's completely hypothetical because they won it. Congratulations. But had they not won it, do you start putting them in the what's wrong with them category, a la Tampa of 2015, 2019, Detroit, early to mid-90s before they finally broke through in 97? But moot point in any case. And, yeah, like you said, Tampa's not going anywhere. Ranger fans, between back-to-back conference finals now with them, back-to-back times we've been in the conference finals, I should say, there's a lot of hate for Tampa amongst Ranger fans now, and I just didn't really
Why is that?
That's two in a row now that they knocked us out on the Cup's doorstep. So that's, you know, I could see that. Beyond that, I don't know. I mean, they don't really have anybody that's hateable. You know, like there's no Tom Wilson, there's no Brad Marchand. You know, Kucherov plays with an edge to the letter of that term, because, you know, you hear that from, you know, any fan who's got a really good guy who's dirty, like Marchand and Wilson. You'll hear from Caps and Bruins fans that they play with an edge. No, they don't play with an edge. They play to end people's lives, you know. But Kucherov legitimately does. He's a little chippy at times, but he's one of the best players in the world. And, you know, so beyond that, they don't really have anybody on that team who's, like, hateable. So yeah, I mean, I guess losing the conference finals, you know, twice to them now would absolutely – I can't begrudge Ranger fans for having a bad taste for that particular team. But I just – you know, I didn't really share the hatred. I try to be, an objective hockey and sports fan. And thinking like that, you know, I'm a fan of just, you know, historical – big historical things happening, and you know, another three-peat in hockey definitely would have been an absolutely historical milestone there. But it was not meant to be, and like you mentioned there, you know, kudos to Steve Yzerman who put this team together, because these guys are locked up for years. They're not going anywhere. When they get healthy again, yeah, they got some free agents coming up that they need, but you know, they're big guns are there. So if they don't sign all or some of these free agents, it's not the end of the world, and they'll just fill in the blanks with what they lose, because the big guns are all there. Vasilevskiy, Stamkos, Kucherov, Point, these guys aren't going anywhere for quite some time. So this is not the death of the Tampa Bay Lightning, not by any means.
Yeah, man, they don't have a villain. You're big on the theme of movies. You're very accurate. We're going to get to that later. That's for the fun stuff at the end of this episode. They don't have, like DC Comics, a true villain. Like Carolina. Had Carolina beat us, right? We know the villain. It's clear-cut. It's Tony D'Angelo. Clear-cut villain.
Yeah.
You know, something to hate because of the history. Not that we don't have history with Tampa, because we do. We have trades with this team. But to me, there's not that Tony D'Angelo-like type of guy, like you said, or Brad Marchand. They don't, or Tom Wilson. They don't have that personality on that team to hate. They just play hard. And Tampa, to me, like, this is, okay, this is where it gets, you know, they're a transplant city, meaning a lot of New Yorkers live in Tampa. A lot of fans are kind of just even though they support the team because they're winning, even when they were losing, they haven't lost a lot since their history or their existence. But they support their team, but it's kind of like, you know, you don't get into brawls or fights with fans of those sports teams down there. It's like, to me, it's like, it's laissez-faire. It's just something to do. Okay, if we lose, we'll just go to the beach. They, like every other city... has that, kind of like Boston, Chicago, Detroit, Montreal, like those cold cities, the cities in the north, the New Yorks, Philadelphia's, all had that chip on their shoulder because they're winter cities, they're cold cities, blue-collar cities. Tampa's not that at all. Like, you know, like if you ever, I know you've gone to games in Florida or just out west, just, it's just too laid back to even hate their fans. It just happens to be the wrong team at the same mojo. Like, just like, we happen to play them, they beat us. And it's not like they outplayed us. That's the thing. Like, it's nothing like they cheated or anything. Like, we just got outplayed. So I don't necessarily hate that. We just got to step up, and hopefully we can raise our game next season. But I'll be honest with you, Scott, in the Stanley Cup Finals, I only watched half of that shit. Now, I watched the entire game, too, which was a blowout. That was just disgusting. And I watched game 5 and game 6. The game 5 when Tampa won – bring it back to Tampa, and then, of course, the clincher for Colorado. Well, how did you know, and shout-outs to defenseman Mikhail Makarov, got the Conn Smythe Trophy for the finals, and he's the best defenseman also in the NHL Awards. We'll talk about all the awards and stuff, but what about the series? Did you watch it, or what was your thoughts?
You know, I didn't. And, you know, like I said, I Tampa still had my blessing even after knocking us out. But when the Rangers get that close, and then, you know, we got knocked out to Carolina. I probably would have, you know, I would have taken some time off. I would have taken maybe a half a round or a round off in the conference finals and then gotten back into it. But when Rangers are that close, and you know what, I think we talked about this last time. I probably could have dealt with it a lot easier if we just got swept 4-0. Tampa just blew us out of the water from the get-go. But not only were we in the Eastern Conference Finals, but we were up 2-0. You know, we could start to taste it. We could taste it at that point. And, you know, so I guess a part of me was, while I did not have the hatred for Tampa, I couldn't really watch it. I just lost interest. It just hurt so much that the Rangers were so close. You know, the last 3-4 years, I watched all of it because, you know, the Rangers were not an issue. There was no heartstrings being tugged on and severed. So, you know, I had no problem watching the playoffs, but I just could not watch the finals. It just hurt too much.
I feel your sentiment. See, I watched game 2 by accident. Well, I don't call it accident. It was just one of those situations. I was out of, you know, I was traveling, and game 2 was on a Saturday. It was in Colorado, and the bar I was at, I was in Texas, and they had all, you know, it was a nice layout. The way they had the bar open, it was like almost like a set of like a cookout. It was really nice, and they had the game on. It was hard not to resist, so I had my Tito's and Red Bull, and a little bit of barbecue, and the game was happening to be on, and it happened to be a blowout. So I said, you know, Colorado at that time up 2-0. I said, oh, so okay, you know, we've seen this story before with Tampa, but it was, I think I saw highlights of game 4 when Tampa won, and I said, okay, this is interesting because, you know, Tampa, you know, they've come back. Can they do it again? That's when I started to peak it a little bit more because I was like you. Like, I was not interested in game 1. I ran into the game kind of like, I would call it by accident. It just happened to be, you know, if you're at a bar and have the game, well, all right, fuck it, I'll watch it. And it was a smoke. They smoked them. Colorado smoked them in game 2. Skipped games 3 and 4. And I said, oh, game 5, interesting. I thought Colorado was going to clinch. And, you know, interesting. You know, Vasilevskiy had a big game, and they had the big goal in the third period. I said, that's kind of the thing, like, oh, they're going to make it interesting. But kudos to Colorado, man. They got too much they got a lot of horsepower, defenseman scoring. They got it all, that elite top line. I'm kind of like you, Scott. Like, any of my teams, if they get close and they – especially if they fuck it up. I think the Rangers – yeah, they fuck it up. And, you know, it was kind of – I had no plans to watch it, but it's kind of hard to avoid when everybody's talking about it. So I kind of peed here and there, but I didn't go out and watch it. Because, you know me, Scott, that's another thing about me, what we love is – I love my TV shows too, and I'm behind trying to catch up on things. So, you know, the game's going to have to wait.
And that's actually why I didn't watch it, because I was in the middle. In addition to the current stuff we got going on, which of course is the boys, and
talk about that.
Well, Stranger Things picks up again on Friday, but I was binging Barry, the third season of Barry, the HBO show with Bill Hader, and you know what show I really love? Did you ever check out Young Rock, the Rock show on NBC?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's fantastic.
You
told
me about that?
No, I
don't remember that one.
I don't think we covered that one. I mean, we can take that offline or later in the show if you want to. You know, don't get off track on the hockey,
Let the people know what we're watching, man. You know, this is a sports entertainment sports podcast, man. So, yeah, we'll let them.
All right. Well, yeah, and it's heavily around wrestling, so sports entertainment, so it kind of fits either way. So The Rock's got a show. It's a half-hour show. It's so cleverly done. It's great. So he stars in it. It takes place in 2032, and he's running for president, and it's like weeks before the election. So he's got this this interviewer like following him around, and so he's giving all these anecdotes, and then you've got three other timelines going on at the same time. You know, he'll say something like, well, it reminds me of the time that, so you've got 1983 where he's 10 years old and his father, Rocky Johnson, is like top of the world in just about like that part of his life. And then he's also got when he's 15 in high school. And then you've got a third timeline of it started when the show started. He was a senior in high school. Then it went through University of Miami with the football and his injury, and then he tried for the CFL. And right now, the season two just ended, and we left. It's like the day. It's literally election day. They haven't announced. I won't give it away. Yeah. So the election happened. The 2032 presidential election happened, and he has now gotten to the point where he got his WWF start. And just the guys that the actors that they picked to play, the younger versions of these people, we met Stone Cold, Andre the Giant, we met the Wild Samoans, because those were his uncles actually growing up. We met Triple H, Vince McMahon, just the young. We haven't met Hulk Hogan yet or Piper, but pretty much everyone else. And just the actors that they got to play these younger versions are just phenomenal job. And it's kind of quirky. It's more or less a comedy, but it's just really, really good writing. And I'm a huge Dwayne Johnson fan. You know, I love him and everything. He's my favorite wrestler in the second round of wrestling. You know, because I grew up, mid '80s with these guys that they're talking about: Hogan, Piper, Andre, Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man. That was my golden era. Then I stopped watching it, early '90s, and then late '90s I got back into it. I was living in Manhattan and I got back into it with my two roommates at the time. The Rock, Stone Cold, Triple H, D-Generation X, China, that era right there. And I really, really got back into it for like 3 years and then kind of bailed again.
You had the same thing. Me and you had the same thing because in the mid-90s, WWE was trying to find a bridge between that Ultimate Warrior era and what became with Stone Cold. That gap kind of left a void. That's why WCW at the time was kicking their ass, because they were picking up all the old wrestlers from WCW, and Nitro was popping at the time. Like 8 p.m. Nitro on Monday nights, 3 hours, they had a run. And I'm with you. Like that era, in the 80s, like you said, Hogan, Warrior, Piper. And I know you probably watched those series too. I can't forget the name of it. The WWE biography. I think it's called Biographies, right? They had eight of them. They had one with Piper, Warrior, not Hogan.
I think I may have seen one or two of those.
Oh, Mankind, Booker T. Yeah, those are great. I watched they got into the weeds of that. Shawn Michaels, I believe. Yep, Shawn Michaels. That's one of them all. That was about a year and a half ago. And they went to the biographies and the details. It was really good. I'll get you the information. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you didn't. But the whole overall point, I'm with you. Like, what happened, let's say, early 90s, when Hogan was kind of on the downfall, they gave the championship to Warrior. Because, at that time, that was Vince McMahon's baby was Ultimate Warrior. And ever since then, they couldn't recover from that. And that's when WCW was just picking up everybody. Then they added Goldberg and the NWO, with Hogan and Hall and Nash. Oh, man, that era was fantastic.
Yeah, they actually got bigger. So for whatever reason, I don't know, I just thought I was probably The Rock. Just, I saw his interviews. His promos are just so entertaining, just so good.
I'm going to look into that show. Let me ask you this, because whatever happened to his other show, The Rock? Oh, shit, what is it? He's like a sports agent. I love that show. Ballers.
Oh, phenomenal. Oh, Ballers. Yeah, Ballers. Ballers finished. It ended. They ended. I love that show, too. That was a phenomenal show on HBO.
Did they cancel it or did it end it? Because I was on top of
ended it. It was four.
Really?
Yeah, four, maybe five seasons. They gave it a proper ending.
Oh, man, I love that show.
That was a great show, too.
Maybe I missed the season. Because I know around COVID, they stopped it. That was my shit. See, if it's like 30-minute episodes like that, like this show you're talking about, this Young Rock, oh, man, that's light work. Two seasons, 30 minutes? I could knock that out in a weekend.
They're even shorter. So, they're even shorter because they're like 22 minutes because it's on NBC. So, 8 minutes, I watch it, I stream it, so there's no commercials, so it's 22 minutes of legit show. So, yeah, they're even quicker. I mean, you could bang out three in one sitting, no problem.
Easily. Okay. All right, we'll get back to more of the shows. Let me ask you this real quick. On the season overall with the NHL, right? This is a couple of things I noted. Now, what was your thoughts on the inaugural season with the Seattle Kraken as far as their debut?
Well, I was happy that they were terrible. I did not want to have another repeat of Vegas.
Right, I know.
I resented them. I already resented them because we had another expansion draft. We just had one. And, that's what I really resented Vegas, because Vegas was exempt from the Seattle expansion draft. That infuriated me. Why? Because they've only been around 5 years? Well, they made the playoffs, all of them. Up until this year and made the finals. Here are the Rangers not making the playoffs in 5 years. We got to give away a guy. And, with the new rules, it can't just be dead wood. It's got to be like a somewhat legit player. So here we are, got to give one. So I was actually happy that that Seattle was not good. And, as not to be not to turn the show political, but I'm not a big fan of that city either, so I really want the team to be terrible.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess we could look at it like I think some of the NHL fans were looking at it almost like, damn, man, they're going to run the gauntlet like how Vegas' inaugural season was, because that was like an anomaly, I think. But people had it in the back of their minds, like Seattle, new team. Everybody liked the jersey. Who did they play opening night? I forgot who they played opening night. Was it Vancouver? Well, whoever
was wasn't it Vegas? I think it was Vegas. I think they set it up so the two noobs could play on it. I'm pretty sure it was Vegas.
Okay,
100%.
I gotta go back and look at that. But I remember they started their first few games on the East Coast, which was weird to me. Like, I remember they were in Nashville one game, and I think they were in D.C. versus the Capitals. I got to go back. Let me go check before we get off the episode. But the point I was saying about the Seattle Kraken, you got to see their debut. Now, also, season overall, and now this is where we're kind of directly, indirectly infected, and I think, kudos to our own team making the playoffs. I don't know what's going on in Long Island, man. I don't know. With the Islanders, Barry Trotz let go. But come on, that's a raw deal. Starting the first, 13, 14 games on the road, what team's going to really recover from that? I mean, that's tough.
Yeah.
Even if it is a rival,
Yeah, and that's what I said. We hate them, so I'm happy that they went through it. But their whole season was a raw deal. You start off the first 13 on the road, and then on top of that, their whole team gets ravaged with COVID. They got 7 guys out. They already shut down. They got a raw deal. They already shut down, I think, Ottawa and maybe one other team, the Canada teams. They shut them down when they had, 2 guys out. And so they didn't shut the Islanders down. So when we played them in the first game in the new arena, it wasn't, and yes, we'll always have the bragging rights of the first win there, but it was not fair. So by the time they finally shut them down, and then the All-Star break, and they got healthy and came back. Now, granted, they were still playing like 500 hockey, so it's not like, they went like 15 games over 500 in the second game of the in the second half of the season and just missed the playoffs. No, they were nowhere near it at all. So, even once they got healthy, so I mean that's a good sign for us. And then
Do you think the NHL will give the Islanders next season the first 13, 14 games at home? I mean, just to make up for that, that's a fucked up deal,
man. No, I don't. And the reason is because Carolina went through the same thing for years. You've got right across the street from that arena, you've got the county fairground, and you know how the South is with those county fairs, and theirs lasts an entire month. And for years, and that took precedence, you know, you've got, because, you know, you got the RBC Center parking lot is parking for it. And that, you know, we were joking about how, you know, the Rangers in the 1950 finals, how the circus took precedence at MSG. Well, the county fair in this day and age took precedence. So Carolina had to go through it for at least like 4, 5, 6 years. Now they finally, I don't know if they changed the county fair, I don't know what the deal is, but they haven't gone through it. That hasn't been an issue. But so what I'm saying, they never really gave them a, threw them a bone by, you know, giving them a pack of home games to start. So I don't see the them doing it for the Islanders either. Not to mention, if you start off with 13 home games, that's almost as bad, because if you think about it, because if you don't ace the shit out of those games, you know, you're two-thirds of the rest of your season is on the road. So I don't, you know, if I was given the option for that, like, would I want the Rangers, you know, I mean, yeah, it's a potential way to start off like 11-2 or whatever, but if you don't ace that homestand, you're screwed. So, yeah, either way, it's just a raw deal. But, and the whole Barry Trotz thing just makes no sense. Now, Islander fans are telling me the guy's got a short shelf life with the team. Laviolette, Peter Laviolette. You know, he's had some – he won the Cup in Carolina. He's had some good Nashville teams. He's, you know, he decent little run in Philly too, actually. But supposedly he's only got a shelf life of like 3-4 years tops, and then he loses the team because he's kind of a hothead too. And so that's what Islander fans are starting to tell me about Barry Trotz. Now, I don't know if that's true or if that's just Islander fans being Islander fans and trying to, you know, come up with an excuse to just as to why they're okay with it or trying to convince themselves they're okay with it.
Yeah, I am pro fan. Like, if the fans, like, it depends who it is. Like, if I go to Scott, Mr. Ice Guy Blander, about his Rangers, I take it serious. I take it seriously. Like, he's not playing around. Like, if you find the right fan who's in being objective, like, I'll take it. If they really believe that and they had credibility, hey, you know, well, I mean, some could be cuckoo and all that, but.
Well, that's the thing, is we know how Islander fans could be, so we don't know if they really believe that or if they're just trying as an excuse to force themselves, to make themselves believe it, to try and justify it, and they're just lying, you know, out of their asses. Who knows? Like, I don't know. I'm just saying that's what I'm starting to hear. It could just be a deflection, an excuse. They could be serious. But you know what makes me nervous is that I'm hearing that somebody threw the word to Gerard Gallant's name out in that category as to why after a great run. And you know what? It got me thinking for a minute. It really did. He had a phenomenal run in Vegas, and they fired him. He had a great, great Florida team coming. This team this year, yeah, granted, you know, they crapped the bed in the second round, but, you know, a hell of a regular season. That was his team as well, and they fired him. Between those two, I get like thinking, like,
Let's add to that list. So, Barry Trotz, okay, Gerard Gallant, Peter Lafayette, Peter DeBoer. It's like these same guys get, like, 5 coaching jobs. They have hell of a run for some teams. Whatever reason, are let go. I don't get it. Like, I don't know, coaches don't grow on cheese like that.
But, you know, we had Tortorella, so we can add him to the list because we know full well about a hothead who, will eventually lose the locker room because they can't stand him. So,
can we put AV on that list?
Who knows?
AV could go on that list, too.
Who?
AV could go on that list.
No, I put him on the other end of the spectrum because he's so, like, just not emotional, and he gets fired just because he's out-coached in the playoff. He's out-coached all the time, and I think that the teams he's had, the Vancouver team, the Rangers team, the Rangers didn't go to the finals in 14 because of him. I think they went in spite of him. And then, he, you know, that's why he's, you know, because he's in the top 10 all all-time winningest coaches, but there's a reason why his Vancouver teams didn't win the Cup or the Rangers didn't win the Cup. He is not a good coach of actual, like, of strategy. You know, we saw all sorts of chess matches going on this year. Gallant, John Cooper with the Braden Point thing. Brind'Amour did it in Carolina with, you know, Colin Reeves out trying to sucker him into, you know, losing his shit and taking the penalty. You know, we saw some great coach and, of course, during the game, of course, with lineup match, you know, matches. Obviously, you know, they Cooper and Brind'Amour both and having Zibanejad in check in their home game. So, you know, we saw some phenomenal coaching this year. And then Gallant as well. With AV, he just doesn't do that. He just doesn't know how to make those big-time chess move playoff moves and gets out-coached all the time when it comes to the playoffs. So I don't really put him as, like, a short shelf life. I just don't see him as he's just never going to win a Stanley Cup unless he lucks into just, you know, a completely stacked team that can win it, you know, regardless of his stupid decisions. You know, I don't think he's like a lose the team guy. I mean, yeah, they probably lose interest in him. Yeah, all right. So it is kind of like that. They'll lose respect for him and lose. You know, like I remember after he left and the Rangers started coming out and saying, I think it was Zuccarello who said, yeah, he told us not to hit back. He legitimately said, do not fucking hit back. Do not stand up for yourselves. And as we know, it was just open season on everyone with the Rangers. Yeah, we didn't really have the personnel to do anything about it, but. You know, there was this lack of toughness across the board, and you know, that's why it's so different this year. Gallant is encouraging, you know, and he's got the personnel for it. You know, we talked about that. The Ryan Reeves and Goodrow effect permeated the entire lineup, and everybody was just playing with a chip on their shoulders, and everybody was, with the exception of Panarin, everybody's just getting in there to crush people. So, you know, definitely, you know, AV just doesn't have that on his team. They're not tough. And, you know, he's just constantly out-coached. So I think, yeah, so for that reason, yeah, his players will stop playing for him eventually. But for the other guys, it's because they're all, like, drill sergeants.
All right, now let me go back one more thing about the Islanders. And then I got a couple more questions for you on the NHL season. The Islanders, even with that start, they still had better points than the bottom half of that division. The Devils, the Blue Jackets, Philadelphia. I mean, that was a crash course in itself. That was really wow. You know, they sold the farm on that team, and you know, we were just talking about AV. I think the division. I know that's going to be a conversation pretty much for the rest of the summer on this platform for sure. But could the Rangers? Like you said it before, the Islanders. There's no way the Islanders could get any worse if you get a balanced schedule and then you still have the teams in the top half of the division. But here's my question. Easy question. Biggest surprise of 2022 and biggest disappointment of 2022. NHL season overall, it could be a player, it could be a team, franchise. I can't put the Islanders in that boat. I would definitely say Vegas was a little disappointing, a little bit. You know, they had a lot of injuries and stuff. So it's kind of understandable. But what is the biggest disappointment? You know, could you even go back to say, your buddy Patrick, you know, after making the finals in that weird season last year, they like totally wet the bed and like totally in last place. Who was the biggest surprise, biggest disappointment for you overall, whether player or franchise?
I got one for both. Biggest disappointment. I won't say Montreal because we kind of knew it was coming. Even Patrick knew and the city knew it was coming. They got exposed by Tampa. You know, they had a great run, but they got exposed as Carey Price, period. You know, Igor, gets a little bit of that this year, but maybe like the first two-thirds, maybe three-quarters of the season before Vetrano, Mont, and Kopp arrived, you could have said that, yeah, but not so much. Igor was not on the same level of this team on my shoulders as Carey Price was, and they knew that. and the way that finals went down. And they knew, you know, Shea Weber, they knew, you know, when it came out that he was like playing literally with his foot like held on by one tendon. And you know, they knew it was going to be rough times and that they were not going to come anywhere. And I don't think they expected to finish dead last, but they knew that they were certainly not going to be a cup contender by any means this year. So I won't say them. You know what I will say? I said what I said about the Islanders, so they're kind of in there. But I'll also put the Devils in there. And, you know, again, this is a two disappointments that I'm very happy about. But the Devils are building something just like we are. And I still think they're a couple of veterans, you know, presence away because, you know, they're insanely young. But, you know, Mackenzie Blackwood was supposed to be the thing, and they were supposed to be pretty much on pace with the Rangers. They were supposed to be. Now, I think even all goalies aside, I still think we're a better team than them. But, you know, we saw it. You know, that game that I went to at the Rock where they scored like five goals in the second period and you know, they were doing pretty well until their goalie issues happened. And they went through like nine goalies. And you know, they get good for us, but you know, that's a shame for them. And then when Mackenzie Blackwood came back, then they realized he's not the guy because he's just terrible. You know, they thought he was supposed to be good, but then when he, you know, he came back, they just, you know, he is not the future of that team. He's awful. So they are more or less a playoff team, and, you know, and again, they have the offseason coming up, and, you know, they've got another great pick coming up. They got the two pick coming up, and, you know, as well as a lot of spending room in the salary cap. So they're going to be ready to rock, and I think they could have been a playoff team this year if Mackenzie Blackwood had turned into 85% of what they were hoping, and you know, obviously it wasn't a merry-go-round back there with the injuries, then they might very well have been one of those wild card teams. So I'm going to put them in the biggest disappointment category. And as far as players, as far as like a single player, I don't really have a disappointment player, but certainly not on the Rangers anyway. I mean, yeah, we're all pissed at Strom, but we knew what Strom
would
was.
Would you put surprise Kreider for what he did?
Yes, that is what I was going to say, the biggest surprise, okay. Kreider, because, you know, like we talked about for for a decade, you know, we I gave up on him. I figured, like, it's just – This is him, you know, this all talent, no effort, one, you know, three out of every six games or whatever. That's just who he is. And all of a sudden this year, he was finally what we were hoping. So I did not expect it. I completely had zero faith that this would happen. So, you know, again, I give him all the credit in the world. So yeah, definitely big surprise. Cause I did not think he had, you know, a sustained enough effort for a 50-goal season. So kudos to him. Yep, that's my biggest surprise right there.
I'll say biggest surprise. I mean, it's not really I would call it a surprise. I would say Winnipeg was a little bit of a letdown to me. I thought in the Pacific Division, interesting. It was like Calgary, Edmonton. Even though they ended up finishing 1-2, they started off 1-2 in the division, and then they both went to like 3-4. I think Vegas was in first for a little bit, and the Kings. The Kings, to me, if I had to pick a team as far as surprise, I would probably go them. I didn't have them making the playoffs, even despite their moves. Adding Philip Deneau from the Canadiens, and also Victor Avinson from the Nashville Predators. I actually saw one of their games actually in person when I was in Los Angeles. I saw them versus the Wild, and they have Brendan Lemieux. They had a good season. They made the playoffs. You know, they ran to a buzzsaw in Edmonton, but you know, Adrian Kempe had a monster year of 35 goals. I know Kopitar does what Kopitar does. He's definitely consistent. And Drew Doughty's still on the team. They actually. They were my little bit of a surprise. I didn't have them making the playoffs, and they did. Outside of that, I'm actually a little surprised how the teams in the Atlantic finished. Like, the top four teams clearing 105 points, that's a juggernaut, man. you know, and it was kind of, I don't know how to think about Florida. I think it was disappointing that they got swept, if that makes any sense. I mean, I understand winning the President's Trophy and probably the best division in hockey. I mean, you could say us or them, either or, our divisions. But the way they got, you know, they got trampled. Well, it's not, I'm not, I am a little surprised. You know, 4-0, I can understand losing one, but they got destroyed. And, you know, after finishing the Capitals off, you know, the way they went out, you know, that's kind of a little surprising. But they don't get no heat because nobody really cares about the Panthers in Broward County, Florida. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, definitely. When you were talking about the Tampa fans before, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Tampa fans are legit. They have been, you know, for a long, long time. Yes, it kind of helps that that's another good point you brought up. That franchise is got to be like, you know, pound for pound, because they've only been around since, what, 92, 93, you know, just pound for pound in terms of the percentage-wise of how long they've been around, they've been a success for the overwhelming majority of their entire existence. So, yeah, that's certainly going to help keep your fan base interested when you're in Florida. But, yeah, no, they got a great, legit – I've never been to a game there – but I will give them all the credit in the world for being a great, legit fan base. And, yes, they obviously have to deal with an influx of New Yorkers if we're going to play them, especially in the playoffs. And that's not a knock on them. You know, what some other fans like to tease, it's like, well, you can't even fill your house. We own your house. It's going to happen regardless, especially in this day and age with the club and the broker sites. If you want to go to a game, any sporting event, you can go. It's just a question of how much it is. You know, the days of things being sold out, maybe I could find a scalper outside. You know, like if it's sold, like sold out means nothing. If you want to go to any sporting event on the planet, you can go. So if Ranger fans want to get into that building, if there's a lot of them down there, they're going to get in. That's not a knock on Tampa for not being able to pack the house with their own people. That's just the era we live in. So
right.
I'll give them credit as being legit, but Panthers absolutely not. Miami is just the, you know, a bandwagon city. You know, like, well, look how much interest there was in the Heat, you know, during the Shaq and Dwayne Wade years where they won a title or two, I think. And then of course LeBron. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, nobody's in that building. Nobody. And the same with the Panthers, you know. They packed the house in 96 for that run. And now that they're good again, but when they're bad, I mean, you can sit on the glass for like $20.
Hey, that's a great deal too, man. Especially the way the alcohol prices are at these arenas.
Yeah.
So you could definitely get more of a deal that way. Now, let's get Carl into the conversation real quick. Carl, we were talking about NHL overall, biggest surprises, biggest letdowns. We talked a little bit about the Kraken earlier on their inaugural season. But, Carl, what's the biggest surprise for you and biggest letdown as we loop you into the conversation, and also your thoughts on the Stanley Cup Finals with Colorado winning it? And then, of course, Scott, we'll get back to the movies and stuff like that as we wrap up.
So, good evening, gentlemen. Happy off-season to both of you as we sort of settle down now and we have some downtime until October comes back around.
Hey, Carl, one thing before you jump in.
Sir.
Say one nice thing about the Mets for Scott.
They have a very good offense.
Fair enough. Yep, fair enough. And just think, we're without our top two starters. Things are going to get real interesting in Queens when we got these big guys coming back.
Yeah, they've got to hold the fort down here for about the next, I would say, 5 weeks until, you know, question mark whether DeGrom gets back. I know McGill went on the injured list recently as well. Scherzer, I think, is supposed to come back in a couple of weeks. But I'm pretty sure they're going to get a starting pitcher from somewhere by the trade deadline. But right now, I don't know if they're going to be able to keep on going at this rate with the pitching that currently exists right now. So they're gonna need some help, but I think they'll get the reinforcements.
Yeah, they've
Scott, let's make sure your Mets don't go into a New York Islanders situation with Barry Trotz. Have Buck Showalter for a short run, and you just fire him out of nowhere. So,
No, this is the Mets we're talking about. If they can actually win that World Series, that coach might, whoever wins that World Series with the Mets, God willing, Buck Showalter, that's a lifetime extension right there. He'll sign it, you know, until he's dead in the contract. That is how desperate we are for a World Series win in Queens.
Yeah, sorry about that, Carl. Go ahead, fire away, bro. Biggest surprise, biggest letdown, your thoughts on the finals, Stanley Cup finals. We got to get to the awards a little bit, some movies, and we'll wrap up.
So the biggest surprise wasn't necessarily a team that was supposed to contend that didn't. I mean, I was looking at BetMGM's over-under numbers before the year started, and the two teams that had the biggest drop-off from what was projected to what ended up happening at the end of the season were Philadelphia and Seattle. Those projections were in the low 90s, and those teams finished, I think, with the second and third worst records in the league. Third and fourth. Montreal finished with the first, with the worst record, and then it was followed by Seattle, Arizona, and then the Flyers. So those are the two teams that, in terms of just team disappointments. Everybody else was pretty much, you know, the projections of who was going to make the playoffs before the year started pretty much played out from October to now. The two teams that were projected to make the Stanley Cup final and face each other were the two teams that you just saw playing. So nothing really was a shock in terms of that. I think the one thing that did surprise me, and it's not a team, it was the fact, and I mentioned this weeks ago when we were doing it during the playoffs every other week, was the explosion of offense this season in the NHL. It was the first time in the last 26 years in which there's been more scoring than there has ever been before. You know, guys getting 60 goals. Austin Matthews has 60 goals. Kreider, we talked about, has 50-something goals. You know, the Connor McDavid, of course, we know he's great, but the point explosion and goal explosion throughout the league was something that was very shocking. I don't think anybody saw the level of scoring increase the way it did. Now, whether that's a combination of, you know, guys just, you know, improved skill, less, more penalties being called, which I believe is part of the reason, you know, the emphasis on making sure that, you know, offensive players have freedom of movement during the season, allowing for more opportunities to score. That played a huge role because I think Colorado this season, I think they averaged something around, I think it was over 4 goals a game for the season. Like, that's crazy. Normally, you know, you go back to the early 2000s, you know, teams were barely scoring 3 on average. So the explosion of offense this season, and it allowed teams that had explosive offensive players to be able to showcase their talent. So that was, to me, the biggest takeaway from the season. As far as the Stanley Cup Finals, boy, that was one hell of a series. For someone that was down there in Denver for, you know, two of the games, hanging out with the folks down there, that was a tremendous time. They were really into everything down there in the town. And I thought Colorado, listen, you know, they played 20 games to win the Stanley Cup. To put that in perspective, the Rangers played 20 games and only got the game 6 of the Eastern Conference Final. Like, the amount of games you play, the rest you get, and being good on top of all of that plays a huge factor in winning. You know, Colorado, I think they finished with the mm-hmm. most wins in the regular season and postseason combined. They were an all-time team this year. They were projected to win the Cup from the season the year started. They were the best team in the Western Conference. They went through the Eastern Conference, the Western Conference in the playoffs, and did what they did to Tampa Bay in the final. Like, that team is tremendous, and they have all of their guys basically locked up for the foreseeable future as well. And that kind of got me to a situation that I was talking to somebody about, and I've actually mentioned this years ago, and I know certain, you know, Ranger fans may be very uncomfortable with this topic. But it led me to wonder about the value of goaltending and how valuable is it actually? Because if you look at the last 30 years of data of teams that have won the Cup, find me the amount of guys that are Hall of Fame goaltenders compared to teams that are tremendously gifted offensive teams. And you'll find that the gifted offensive teams win out far more almost, I think, at the rate of maybe 80 or 85% than the team that has the, you know, super great goaltending and an offensive team that just barely scrapes by for offense. And that's no knock against Henrik. That's no knock against Igor. However, I think their value is somewhat overstated because the guy that just won the cup for Colorado, folks were mocking him as recently as like 3 weeks ago. You know, you had fans saying, oh, listen, if the Rangers get to the final, oh, Rangers can get to this guy. Well, got to stop. You guys got to stop the other team from scoring first. And that's part of this. And so as, you know, just sort of in a big picture scenario, you know, as great as your goaltender is, you've got to score. You can't win if you don't score. And in the case of Colorado, Colorado scores a lot. Score a lot, tend to win out far more than the teams that try to scrape by on a bunch of 2-1 victories. I was in Chicago for all those years watching the Blackhawks, and folks got on Corey Crawford and Antti Niemi, and those are the guys that won the cups for them, and folks don't think they were any good. But they won three. You know, the other guys didn't. You know, also, you have to win when your guys are not getting paid also. That is a huge factor. You know, if the guys that are on Colorado are signed up long-term, and they've already won. So the bill, so whenever the bill comes due, the bill comes due, but they've already got the cup in their possession. Pittsburgh had the same thing happen. Chicago had the same thing happen. You know, in the case of the Rangers, guys are already getting paid, and the Rangers haven't even won anything yet. That's an issue going forward, you know, having to maneuver the cap to get everything sort of aligned. So that is something that's, you know, kind of got me wondering going forward here in terms of, you know, what we can do. I saw we're fourth in the odds to win the cup next season. The other two are in the same conference as the Rangers with Tampa Bay and Florida, so we'll see how that plays out. But, you know, that kind of, you know, as they were raising the cup that Sunday night, it just had me wondering, like, you know, are we going to be one of those teams that's just going to be sort of just good enough to not be good enough? It just had me wondering.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of off-season talk about the Rangers. Are we good enough to be over the top with the final two teams?
Let me pose this question to both of you guys. The issue I just brought up in terms of the offensive team that has the goaltender that is just good enough, or the great goaltender with the offensive team that's trying to scrape by. If you had the choice between those two options, given what you've seen and all the hockey you've watched for all these years, and the results that we have seen throughout the league for the last 30-plus years, maybe you can probably go back even further than that. Which option would you rather have?
Well, statistically, go ahead, Scott.
No, go ahead. You were speaking. Sure.
No, I mean, Carl makes a great point, because look at those Chicago Blackhawks teams. You know, you have average goaltending, but you have elite scoring. And then you got three out of that with that team. And then you look at Tampa. I mean, Vasilevskiy's pretty good. All-time great, I wouldn't go that far, but pretty good to get the job done. You make a valid point, Carl. You look at Washington in that 1 year. They beat the Golden Knights.
St. Louis.
Going back. Boston. St. Louis, oh, they got hot after the right around the All-Star break.
Matt Murray won the cup for Pittsburgh.
I had all-timers, man. See, I don't think the Rangers have not necessarily a captain matters or whatever. They don't have. They have very good players, but do you call it like a clear-cut Nathan MacKinnon or clear-cut Sidney Crosby or Alex Ovechkin? To me, they don't have that. They have very good players, but not like Hall of Famers to me, to get you over and that scoring line. But Scott, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would go with the better team, because I think in this day and age, so many teams have proven that. You know, the days of you know having to have a Brodeur, a Hasek, a Waugh, Richter, you know, you don't need the top tier goalie anymore. And we've seen, we just went through with Lundqvist where we had the top tier goalie and couldn't win the cup because we didn't have the rest of the team. And now, you know, ever since the lockout era, year one, Cam Ward, was the perfect example of the slightly above average. I know that he did have a phenomenal playoffs that year, but the not an elite goalie winning it. You know, Corey Crawford's got a couple. This year, Darcy Kemper, he's nothing to sing about. So I think in this day and age, maybe it's the salary cap and the teams, you know, the game is different. I don't know, for whatever reason. You know, you don't need a top 10, top even five, top 15 goalie in the league anymore. You just need him to get hot at the right time. And I think it's more important to have just a complete badass team. And of course, it has to be complete because as we saw with the Caps in the 2000s. With, you know, with lack of zero defense, not to mention goaltending. But if you have that complete team with the defense and the lethal scoring, then yeah, you know, anything slightly above average in net, you know, can, not should, but can get you the Stanley Cup. And I think that we saw that again. I'm going to put Colorado in that category.
All right. Carl, anything else real quick before we go around for a final thought?
Yeah, you know, watching Cale Makar was so awesome. I remember a couple of weeks before, 2 weeks before the Stanley Cup, someone compared him. I forgot who the person was. I have to find out who it was. Compared him to Bobby Orr. And when I heard that, I was like, wait, are you crazy? And then I watch him, and nothing against Adam Fox. Adam Fox is a tremendous player. But this Cale Makar, you know, at I think he's 24 years old. He won the best college hockey player before he was drafted. I think he won Rookie of the Year. He's got a Conn Smythe trophy and a Stanley Cup trophy all at the age of 24 years old. I don't know if he's gotten paid yet, but I'm watching him and I'm saying, my goodness, this dude is absolutely amazing. He's got, I would have said he's got a tremendous future ahead of him, but he's already tremendous right now. And to watch him play is a special, it is a treasure. And, you know, I'm glad, you know, going forward that, you know, Colorado's going to have more television exposure because they are the champs. And so you'll be able to see him more next season. So I just wanted to give him props. But the other thing I wanted to do is I wanted to give Tampa Bay all the props in the world as well. You know, for three years and trying to win it back-to-back is hard enough. Getting back there a third time and then even in the sixth game, basically playing on fumes. And still, you know, we're a tough out. Hey, you know, I don't know how hockey is going to remember them years from now, but, hey, that is one hell of a group that they got over there as well.
Right on, man. And to add to what you said about Cale Makar and the Norris Trophy on top of that with the Conn Smythe, God damn. Just racking up all the awards and trophies and championships all in one swoop. Scott, anything else you'd like to add? Final thoughts? We didn't really get to the awards. You know, Austin Matthews with the MVP. Now we gotta talk about the Top Gun. We cannot allow this episode to conclude without that. Yeah, we gotta get to that. We gotta get to that. So the floor is yours, my man.
I was gonna say my final thoughts. I was gonna say that's what my final thoughts would be on. Carl, did you see the new Top Gun yet?
Not yet.
Okay, good. This is for both of you. Steve, you've seen my rant and
no
raving.
Spoilers.
This movie is unbelievable, and it has to be seen on the big screen. And, you know, Carl, how old are you?
38.
Okay, all right, so I'm 45, same thing. So, you know, we don't think of this as – because I remember when I heard they were making it, my first impression was – just leave, just another franchise, just leave it be. It's a perfect movie. It doesn't need it. You know, they just, Independence Day, they made it, they just completely shit the bed with that. So I was not thrilled, but no, this movie is absolutely phenomenal. Some of the best cinematography I've ever seen. You know, they're filming in the planes. Like, these guys are actually in these fighter jets, and they're filming. You can see the scenery moving. Like, I remember reading about the making of it. You know, this movie was just made for the big screen. Just so refreshing to see a big-budget movie with no CGI where they actually, like, film things. Storyline was nice. No politics. It was just a great, solid 2 hours of some of the best entertainment like I've seen in years on the big screen. Definitely, if you will kick yourselves, if you do not see this on the big screen, you'll be sitting there watching it on HBO or whatever in 2 months, and you'll be like, damn, I would like to see this in the theater. So don't make that mistake. Go see it in the theater. It is unbelievable. And a lot of good throwbacks to the original.
I am making an executive decision, Scott. You know this, Carl. I haven't seen a movie in 3 years in the theater. Three, as in tres. So I haven't seen a movie since that letdown of Gemini Man on 34th Street in Manhattan. So that was the last time I was. I could have waited. I could have waited to stream that. So, Scott, I will be seeing
Good call. Didn't
Top
need
Gun.
To be seen in the theater, but not
seeing,
terrible.
I will be seeing Top Gun.
Yeah.
Absolutely, for sure.
You will not regret. I'm going to give you my personal guarantee. If you come to me and say you didn't like it, I will Venmo you immediately your ticket money. That is how much I'm putting myself on the line here with this recommendation.
All right, now, could we get
money
back, around? Final thoughts, one more time, from Carl, get final thoughts. And Scott, and we got to bring on Glenn. I think Glenn missed the entire episode, but I wanted to get his thoughts if he's still on. But Carl, final thoughts from you and Scott, and then we'll wrap up. We'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Yes, a tremendous NHL season, perhaps one of the best in years. So I don't know what they can really do for an encore next season, but you know, if it's anything as good as what we saw this season in terms of the quality of play, the postseason play, the Stanley Cup that we just saw, you know, hey, more power to the league. Hopefully that'll allow for this, you know, for increased revenue, which will allow the salary cap to go up. The cap has been kind of, you know, to be kind, it's been kind of flat basically for about the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. And it's caused teams to be in a situation where they have to make some very difficult decisions. As far as the Rangers go, as we go into the offseason, I know Larry Brooks has been suggesting for about 3 or 4 months now about the idea of Patrick Kane, you know, being perhaps a final piece to the Ranger puzzle. And it does have me wondering, based on the fact that, you know, offense was in fact a factor in the Rangers losing the Stanley, you know, the Eastern Conference final, whether or not that sort of offensive piece is really what is needed to kind of top all this off. Because if you look at the roster and try to say, okay, they need something, but we don't know what that something is, maybe that something really is a guy that's going to be a rental if you want to try to maximize this, what would be 2-year window that the Rangers really have to go ahead and try to push through and, you know, not only get out of the division itself in the postseason, which is going to be very hard next season, but also to try to get to that, you know, elusive Stanley Cup final and even winning it.
At the C Notes. Thank you very much, Carl, on that, on your final thoughts.
Yes, sir.
As we wrap up the NHL season. Thank you, sir. And Scott, final thoughts from you, man, and anything with your show coming down the pike as far as upcoming episodes. Feel free to include that, and we'll wrap up.
Yeah, we're going to do one probably on Friday. We'll recap the finals. We're not going to get too heavily into the preseason, into the off season with the draft and free agency just yet. We'll wait another week or so for that. But yep, that's the face off hockey podcast. That's not the name of it. I just drew a mind blank. Damn it, you gave me another plug and I wasn't ready for it. But in any case, I do appreciate that. Hats off to the Rangers. Gave us much more, a longer, more exciting, you know, finale than we could have ever dreamed of at the beginning of the season. And, you know, Patrick Kane, that'd be nice because we know he wants out. We know as soon as they got rid of Flurry, him and Paze both made public, very, very suggestive public comments that they see their time in Chicago being just about done. So, you know, there's that. What do you think about Nassim Kadri? I mean, he was kind of on a probationary thing, you know, like kind of like D'Angelo, and he kind of passed too. He had, you know, minor incidents, but he's that's the kind of guy. But, you know, and that's a legit number two center that we so desperately need, assuming we don't re-sign Strom. So, I mean, yeah, I would love that. You know, Patrick Kane definitely be my top choice. But, you know, Kadri is a free agent, and I think it was making 4.5 last year, maybe 5, I think so. But obviously it's going to be up a little bit. But if we could somehow fit him into the salary cap, I'd be thrilled to have him if we can't land Kane. because we do need a legit number two center, and Strom obviously was not it. Steele, like we talked about earlier, I'm not going to trash Strom for the entire season, but he was average at best. I know that you have brought it up several times on this show about, do we, is Strom really part of the cup contending team, near future. And I think he just kind of sealed that in the playoffs. I was not happy to hear that he was playing hurt the whole time. This whole like warrior thing, guys playing hurt and the Stanley Cup, like that's admirable. Yes. But it's only admirable until you're playing through your injury becomes a liability. And I think some of the just bonehead things he did, you could definitely chalk up to the injury. So then it's a case of, was he lying about how much pain he was in, or did Gallant know and put him in anyway? It's probably one of the two's fault, unless it was just completely misdiagnosed. I don't know. It's somebody's fault. And he was certainly, you don't get that, like Lindgren. Lindgren gets the warrior, God bless that man for what he went through status. But if it becomes a detriment to the team, then no, you don't. So who knows, what they're going to do with that center position. We got, obviously, Petrano, Kopp, Mott. Mott probably got himself a nice paycheck, and I think the re-signing of Blaze I would love to sign them both, but that probably means the end of Mott. So now, all attention is on Petrano and Kopp, both of which were – we're going to have teams with a lot more money to spend coming at him left and right. So it'd be nice to re-sign them, but who knows. But they're going to have a couple holes, and they'll fill them. That's how close we are. It was a phenomenal season. Gave us all the joy we could possibly hope. And, Steve, one last thing. We were talking about before how I didn't watch the finals because I was so, devastated. What made it even more devastating was that, again, not the fact that they blew the 2-0 lead, because I told you I gave them a pass for that because of the exhaustion. And, this was something we've never seen before. This was not just regular Stanley Cup exhaustion, if teams just eventually lose it. This was the 20 games in 41 days due to COVID, and that's never happened, trying to crunch the schedule. These guys were more as demanding and taxing as your average, as any Stanley Cup season is. This was more so to a level we've never seen before, and it caught up to him. And that's another reason why it's so even more painful, because, all right, if we had a normal season, normal rest, they wouldn't have been flat for those last four games. I'm not saying they would have won the series, but they very well might have. They wouldn't have run out of gas and after being up 2-0 like that. So it's always going to be a seat. Yeah, I'm thrilled, and yes, they overachieved, absolutely, hats off, and that's why I give them a pass. That's why I'm not angry at the team as a whole, because I think that exhaustion was out of their control, and in a normal season, it's going to go down as one of those what could have been seasons for me, because in a normal season with a couple extra days sprinkled in here in rest, which they would have gotten, what could have been if they weren't exhausted with a 2-0 lead in the third round. But it is what it is. Moving on. So excited for the upcoming offseason. So excited. For the first time in 5 years, I'm just stoked knowing that with minimal moves, we are ready to put this over the top this next season. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, we'll be back. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks to dissect this thing all summer long, and I saw that the preseason schedule was damn near already out. September ready to go. Shout-outs to Glenn and, of course, Ranger Proud and Scott and Carl, the girls at True Blue and other people, fans, Donald that's joined us, and Craig's, the Edwins who joined the show for the hockey over the season. We'll be at every other week basis on Tuesday, so in 2 weeks come and catch us in the NHL Finals and Awards episode. Shout outs to the guys on here and Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. In 2 weeks, we'll have the topic up as far as the discuss in 2 weeks. Check out Scott's podcast on YouTube with Patrick. And outside of that, enjoy the holiday. And I'll have my review by two weeks from now, Scott, on top of that. We could probably talk about it then, We'll probably still be doing
awesome
in the box office probably through another week. So we'll talk about it. All right, guys. Signers, we'll be blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.